Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky try to answer an age-old question: what is a 95-point wine really like? Well, to do that, first they review the 95-point Marietta Cristos from California, and then they try the 95-point Bodegas Hermanos Perez Pascuas Reserva from Ribera del Duero in Spain. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, Rob. How was your day today?
My day was filled with highs and mediums.
No lows?
Not really. Low adjacent, but not lows. No, I never cried. I smiled just a little bit, maybe. Just a little bit.
It's a full day, though, if you smile, laugh, and shed a tear.
It's true, but apparently it was only half a day. So,
well, maybe you need to eat an onion.
That's true. I am also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
How was your day today?
It was like, I'm eating ice. It was like 85 hours long.
Well, you did have a lot to do today. We're not going to talk about that because, quite frankly, I find it reprehensible is what's going on. But that's not a funny joke anymore. I said it might not be funny if it came true. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, that? Yes. That is really jacked.
I know.
Don't say that.
We won't.
We have a lot of those jokes.
Running line about Triple B. And
you don't have to relive it.
Yeah, don't.
You know? It's one of those things that don't age well.
Well, it's
not cringeworthy.
Appropriate. Now,
hopefully people don't go back, start listening to the show then and think that was the newest episode. It was before. Okay, so don't think that. But nevertheless.
There will be no jokes about the Triple B's handlers.
I never thought it was funny.
Vladimir, I bet you didn't, but that's not the point. Anyway, on tonight's show, what we're going to do is we have two different wines, all right? And neither one of them are particularly related to the other, except for one thing, and one man, a grand man. Well, he used to be a grand man. Now he's retired. But both of these wines that we're drinking tonight got the same numerical score from Robert Parker. And that score is 95 of his points. You say, well, Rob, what about 100 points? It's 95. Shut the fuck up, okay? This is a value program. Not that. So slow down.
95 is a damn good score.
95 is a classic. That's where you start off calling it a classic wine. Well, that's where theoretically you should start calling it a classic wine. Although 95s have been given out like, you know, baseball cards anymore.
Not by Parker. Even post his retirement, his organization.
True. Prudish.
Well, I would say conservative with the high scores, but accurate.
Can be. Well, anyway, the first one is Marietta and their Cristo. Cristo is for, it's the grandmother of the winemaker, Chris Bilbro. Who is that? The owner or winemaker? Who the fuck knows? His grandmother called him Cristo. Or I'm sorry, his great aunt. Great Aunt Marietta.
Did you review it?
Well, I didn't read it. Well, there's a shadow in there.
Do you want me to read it?
Yes. Well, we'll read it a little bit. I'm just giving the crib notes. Good information. You don't give a shit about this.
Terrible.
There's a pig nose on the label. That's all.
I feel like you need to restart this episode. There's a pig nose on the label.
Yeah, there's a snout. Does that count?
I feel like it does. I need to update my scores of integrity.
I know. Nevertheless, it's a North Coast Rhone style blend. 60% Syrah, 24% Grenache, 12%.
Oh, this is North Coast.
Yes. Well, Alexander Valley and McDowell Valley.
I was not paying any attention. I thought this was like.
Well, it's not like all over the place.
I thought this was like Italian.
No.
Italian.
No, it's not. It's California.
I thought you were. Like,
California.
I don't know.
Love.
I think I thought you were just mispronouncing Marietta.
I might be, actually. It's his great aunt.
I thought
apparently.
It was like some kind of like other word that you were saying, Marietta.
How many times is he going to slip and say Mary Edwards?
I know.
I've not said that yet.
Yes, it's Mary. You did before the show.
Did I?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's all right. I don't know. I was doing some heroin before. But North Coast, McDowell Valley, and Alexander Valley are the primary places where this is from. The second wine.
And it's American, not.
It's American. It's American. Yes. Okay. The second wine is from Spain. Ribera del Duero, actually, to be perfectly honest and specific. And it's from Bodegas Hermanos Perez Pascuas, their Reserva. And it got 95 of Parker's points. Now, the Marietta, I almost said Marietta Edwards. Yeah. Don't curse
once.
Me.
We should have buzzed. That should have been the game.
Oh, my gosh.
How many times does Rob?
It's $21.99. I know. It's $21.99 of your money.
Okay.
And the, what is called?
I should have known this was American. It's in English on the front, family owned and operated.
That helps. That would be suggestive. Sneaky things.
I would lower my score by 5 points.
Good for you. I know you will. And the second, what is called Perez? It is $28.99. So similar scores.
And they also, it's also referred to as El Pedrosal?
It sounds too
Pedrosal
much like a...
feels like as a pesticide.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's not a... I think it's the name, but El Pedrosal, but we'll just call it... It's the Bodegas Hermanos Perez Pascual.
I just wrote Reserva.
You could do that too. I'll call it Perez.
It can be the U.S. versus Spain Battle Royale.
Yeah, Pedrosal is not... No, it's not a name. I don't like that. Pedrosal is just... No.
Well, you don't get to decide its name. They get to decide its name, and they call it El Pedrosal.
Actually, on this show... I get to fucking decide its name. If I want to call it, if I want to call it Dick Slap, I'll call it Dick Slap. But I won't.
If you did, I would go to bed.
Perez Pascuas.
It's contagious.
Perez Pascuas.
Perez Pascuas. Yes.
Is the maker.
I know he's the. It's the maker.
I have a question.
Bodegas Hermanos Perez Pascuas.
Okay. I have a question. How common is it for Syrah to be from Cali? I thought it was more.
No, there's a lot of Cali Syrah producers. Yeah, Marietta being one of them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They make a lot of good stuff.
That was so helpful, Rob. Thank you.
I know. I mean, there's lots of good Syrah producers. There's lots of bad Syrah producers.
In Cali?
Oh, yeah. Marietta, they focus on Zins, they focus on Syrahs, and they do cabs.
They do focus on Syrahs. They make Syrahs in Cali at Marietta?
They do. What? You know who doesn't? Mary Edwards. Tensley. There's so many good Syrah producers.
Marietta.
Tensley. We like Cambria. They do a good one. Santa Barbara. We like... Cambria Syrah. We do.
We like Marietta.
And Mary Edwards. There's many. It's many. Okay. Ramey makes one. Relentless by Schaefer is one of the higher reviewed wines in California, and it's Syrah, and it's $105 or $10.
And most added on the show.
Plump Jack makes a Syrah. Most Plump Jack, okay. Pride makes a Syrah.
Okay.
Most of the companies make, or the wineries make, a Syrah. I don't think like Rodney Strong does, at least not full. I don't think, you know, a lot of the Sonoma guys, Luis Martin, I don't think they do. St. Francis, none of those kinds of guys do. But the big ones, yeah, most of them have a Syrah of some kind. Mm. Hell, probably even Trefethen does it.
Mm. But, does Heights?
No, Heights does not. Mm. They do not. But they do the Grigolino, so that's, you know, weird enough. We have that in the wine vault, by the way.
Marietta would be another one.
Did you know that? Did you know Marietta's one? You know? Yeah. Yeah. So, folks, we're going to take a break because the Triple B is on a roll. You know who else makes it? Acorn. Remember Acorn?
Accent? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It tastes, That was a hit. That's hit and miss. But maybe this will be a hit. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back with the Marietta Cristo here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn
or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So the 2018 Marietta, not to be confused with Mary Edwards, Cristo.
This is going to be such a slappy episode.
Yeah, well, after we drink this, because it's 15% alcohol, folks. Oh, yes. And what night is it? It's Friday night, folks. This we're doing it on a Friday night.
I know. I feel like on a Sunday night, we never get even one wine of this quality, let alone two.
That's true. There's a reason why we do this. If it's on a three-day weekend and it's Sunday night, normally break out the good stuff. Otherwise, it's shit. Triple B, did you want to read the winemaker's notes and maybe some reviews? Except for James, because James needs to be read by James.
Thank you very much. I can't be imitated.
Okay.
Yes.
This is... who's Scott?
Scott?
Yeah, named and styled after Chris Bilbro, affectionately called Cristo by his great aunt Marietta. Oh, this is also a tribute wine. This Rhone varietal blend is gentle but powerful, pleasurable but deep, and refined well. That's gross. And then it says an ode to Scott's father. Who's Scott?
Must be the winemaker.
But who's Chris?
The owner.
I don't know. Apparently, you have to know a lot about Marietta's winemaking and history. Yes. I don't care.
I mean, just put another name in there.
At least I know who Marietta is.
Then
it's a great aunt.
Now. On the label is a reminder of how Chris Bilbro made wild boar sausage and carted his creations around the country to share with chefs and wine lovers alike as he sold Marietta wines. The family series is an ode to the elements that have unified the family's winemakers over time: family, hard work, passion, and a love for the creative process that is winemaking. I really should have taken my score down 50 points because now it's a tribute and an animal on the label.
No, it's just a snout.
James Sucklings had very attractive aromas of blackberry.
No,
sweet
you can't.
Tobacco,
wait a second. You can't read my review.
Through to a full body with a round,
I'm
soft
filing
texture.
An HR complaint.
Ooh, smoke, tar, and graphite notes.
Drink or hold.
And Robert Parker. Mm-hmm. They both, people in the reviews love to put the percentage of things. Like, you can't find that somewhere else. I feel like they must get paid by the word.
What's padding?
Don't you think?
I don't. I want
vibrant
people...
ruby purple in the color. The nose offers pure scents of crushed red, black, and blueberries, covering it all. Tobacco, violets, tar, and smoked meats. The palate is full-bodied and packed full of perfectly ripe, juicy fruit with a grainy frame and loads of uplift on the finish.
You know what, Scott? She's treating me as if I'm Wilfred Wong, and I'm not. I'm completely not.
What do you mean? Was she interrupting you, James? Yes, I mean, I... When I want to talk about a topic, people always interrupt me, and I'm thinking...
When he said smoked meat, it reminded me of something. The Hungarian butcher today posted about head cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had that?
Yep. My grandfather loved head cheese.
Really?
I've had that, too. What is it?
It's more like a meat product than...
Yeah, is it like almost like a ham loaf, but leftover
souse?
Meatloaf?
It's like souse, which is
I don't know what that
version
is.
Of it.
I always like the term sweetbreads and brains.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Here's what it looks like, Rob.
Yeah. It's like a tureen.
It looks like that thing on the side kind of looks like an onion, but I think it might be, sorry to everyone listening. There's this butcher shop that I feel like Scott would love called the Hungarian Butcher in Columbus, and they have that head cheese offering today. They said it was good with, like, relish on it. Do you remember how your grandpa ate it?
On crackers.
Oh. Like Ritz or like a...
Yeah. Huh. That is a very Ritz cracker thing. I feel like I would eat it on a dare.
Yeah.
You know what?
It's not something...
You know what you put on it?
What?
You put mango chutney on it. That's right. I would take that, Scott, and I would take a Ritz cracker.
That's what my grandfather did.
I would put it on my nipples, and you could eat it off me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wilfred.
Okay. What?
Wilfred.
What? Wilford, not Wilfred.
Stop it, or I'm going upstairs.
Oh, sorry. Did I go too
this
far
has
again?
Been the longest
yes.
Day.
Which part was too far? Because I want to know. Say it slowly.
William used to call his elbows his eeples, and it sounded like nipples. And do you remember when he had strep throat? He was like, I think he had a fever, so his body hurt, and he told his pediatrician that his eeples hurt. Poor little guy. All right, are we gonna smell it?
We are.
Oh, it's a pretty. I don't know. I would almost say, because I'm more familiar, a cab-like nose. Like you can tell, it's gonna be a really big.
There's mint
wine.
Nice layers of blackberry mint. What else we got going on there?
And some kind of deep spice in there.
The Marietta website is
Cassis.
Quite unusual, so I was trying to find out who Scott is.
Mary Edwards? What?
In the Mary Edwards website.
Scott's misspelled, by the way. Isn't it with two T's?
Oh. It can be.
But you have mint.
What did you see on the website?
So they, it's like Explore Us, and they have a link to people. So I thought, well, maybe I can find out who Scott is.
Right.
And you can look at the winemaking team. There's pictures of all the people that work there. Not a single name.
Oh.
They don't imply who Scott is.
You're supposed to know.
The vineyard. Yeah. They do mention the vineyard manager, Casey. Oh.
I do feel like it's something that we're supposed to know, but we don't know.
Well,
Oh, yeah. By the way, this is as dark as night. Mm-hmm. That is a nice wine.
But Scott Ketchup.
Oh, he's...
The mint is very nice on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Marietta Wine Cellars.
Dark.
Oh, no, that's in Marietta, Ohio.
This is...
Yeah, they don't make this.
Black as coal. Black it's dark. As night.
Mm.
I'm going in.
I've already went in. It reminds me a lot of, well, it's a little bit bigger and denser and richer. But remember the Dalles Bonfim from Duero? That bouncy liveliness. That had it, and this has it. This also is very sleek and elegant. It has a wonderful finish, too.
It's unusual finish because it. Mm-hmm. I think it gets silkier on the finish.
Well, the mouthfeel almost has a, almost has a gelatin kind of bouncy creaminess to it. It never becomes overpowering. It never is obnoxious or has hard edges, ever. It's all very, very rounded, but in a good way. And it's not particularly jazzy either. I mean, I like so many elements about it, and I like the fact it's not overstated. It's just, it doesn't have a press of oak. It doesn't have this or that. It's just all nicely sorted.
It's a really nice bottle for $22.
Oh, very nice drinking bottle.
I meant to ask how much it cost.
Mm-hmm.
The oaking on the end has really nice spicing.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, you can tell it's there, but it's almost like the Pinophile would say. It's just a framing element, just a light kiss of oak.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
But it's not Pinot. But I think P would like this too. Lots of people I can think of would enjoy this wine. And even though you see the Syrah, the Grenache, the Petite Syrah, it doesn't drink of those things which you normally akin to them. You know? Yeah.
What do you think it drinks like?
Well, I thought it drank a lot like that Duero, but it does have a flavor profile that's Syrah-esque, but it's not heavy like Syrahs can be, you know? Mm. And I like the heaviness of a Syrah, but I prefer the roundness that the Grenache is giving to it. And the Petite Sirah is just giving it color.
Yeah. It's not nearly as jazzy as I feel like a Syrah.
Sometimes
can
is, yeah. Yeah. It's not as jazzy as you think this blend would be.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. Yeah.
It's just, I'm not.
But you know, it really, it has a freshness to it. And, but like, yeah, Becky, sometimes, I mean, Syrahs can be drippy. Sometimes Syrahs can be guttural. Sometimes they can be overly funky or hard-edged or green. They can be so many bad things. They can also be some great things, but even the great things, they appeal to me, but they don't appeal to everybody. You know, they're not a mass right. appeal thing. I love the Tinsley. I don't think you like the Tinsley at all. I love the Tinsley. But I know it's not for everybody. It's just for me. This, though,
it's a pretty appealing
yeah.
mass appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. It's not a Syrah. It's a Syrah-based wine. It's,
yeah.
It's a blend. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely, I wouldn't even describe it as Rhone-esque, even though it's a Rhone-style blend.
I would think it was a really, 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 really nice Cote de Rhone. I mean, like, super nice.
The bigness of this belies it being not French, though.
No, yeah. Well, the finish, when you start tasting a little bit of the, well, the Petite Syrah sneaking in and the twinkle, the Viognier, those do come through a bit on the finish. And, yeah, you're not going to really, at that point, say, oh, this is, you know. And it's also a little bit chocolatey.
I love the chocolate in this.
Yeah, and that's not something that you're going to necessarily see yet from French.
Right dead in the middle. It's mm-hmm. a wonderful display mm-hmm. of chocolate. Just
oh,
wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fruit, not nondescript, but it's kind of all there in one thing. It's kind of a
black fruit
that I wouldn't say succinctly it's this versus that. I don't, you know, it's not really prune. Maybe
It's got
currant.
It's got currant and there is prune, but it's almost like a candied prune. It's not savory in any way, shape, or form. It's all black fruit. And prune normally would be such a more of a savory red fruit. But it has it doesn't quite go raisin, but it has a nice little pop of that.
Something along that
way. Get grape skin.
Okay.
You know, it has a little bit of, it's slightly grapey in a very positive way. Normally would not say positive, but it does have a little bit of that fleshiness of a Concord, but not being sweet. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very nice. And that's a lot of that freshness, that vibrance this wine kind of carries through, which, it, you know what? I'm thinking like that Lot 72. I also felt this, that kind of did this too.
Okay.
It's not as complex or big, but it really makes me want to buy some of their Syrahs. Like Anderson Valley stuff and, you know, the Ghost Block stuff. I mean, those are all really interesting wines. I know, probably pretty good. They make a North Coast Cabernet, which I bet is something interesting. All sorts of stuff. Yorkland Highlands. See, they're making some stuff from some unique spots in North Coast that are premium areas. It's just very, very small. Yorkland Highlands is a really, really good AVA. It's just they don't make a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
McDowell is a very good AVA. They just don't make much stuff in there.
I'm trying to remember where I saw, but I was out somewhere, and maybe it was Grain and Grape, but I've seen the Marietta, the Armée.
It's at the Kroger, or no, the Giant Eagle in Pickerington.
Maybe it's that's
there.
It then.
It's there. Yeah.
And
that's North Coast. Yeah.
I just, North Coast cabs.
Well, I mean, some things, I mean, sometimes we focus too much. If they're blending two different spots in Sonoma, theoretically, that's North Coast. If he did a Napa and Sonoma, technically, that's North Coast. They don't. They say Napa and Sonoma. But if you're blending a little, if you get a little bit of enough of, I suppose, Syrah from McDowell and you're blending it with Alexander Valley stuff, I'm not sure what the Alexander Valley, I suppose, then it's North Coast. I mean, it can be anything like that. Really, you could be Sonoma Coast and Russian River Valley, Pinot. That's North Coast, technically. You're mixing two different AVAs within, you know. Well, I guess Sonoma. Sometimes we think about Lake County, though. You go up in there, so.
That's what I'm afraid of when I see North Coast.
Oh, Lake County actually does make some good wines here and there. It's just you have to know something about their wines to.
Yeah.
Some of the Zins are good, you know.
It just scares me.
Well, I mean, there are bad wines up in there, but it's also, though, not a normal place to see stuff. So
yes,
you're not mass producing a ton of stuff. I also think that maybe some areas kind of get to the gray areas and the names get stuck on that kind of stuff. And what we don't like are like Josh when they do shit like that. But they're sourcing all over the place. Places like this, man, they are hand selecting. They're more like Gunlock Bunchu was with theirs. Where they're taking the time to do it right. So, you know. And Edge took the time to do it right. You know, there are wineries that do go that extra mile. Yep. So,
Mary Edwards.
Yeah, Mary Edwards. they take the time. Yeah.
The finish on this.
I was just thinking about that.
We have to talk about it more. It has like multi-level finish.
And it is long. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is.
It's got that effects of the oak, that little spiciness. Mm-hmm. But then there's that just creamy that goes to like silky mouthfeel that just keeps going. It's I don't know how to explain it. It just, the effect of that mouthfeel lingers throughout the finish.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's really incredible. It's incredible that they do this at the price point that they do.
Yeah. It drinks like a $50 wine easily.
It really does.
It has a superior mouthfeel that you don't get out of a $20 bottle of wine.
No, it does. And yeah, and you can, I can just think of the situations where this is appropriate. This is good with any kind of game. You know, game meat. Not a ribeye, but game meat. Anything, basically, that they serve at the refectory would be enjoyable. That stuff at the Hungarian market.
That head cheese.
Yeah, anything that's a little bit off kilter, off the beaten path, this would be great with that.
Honestly, I was thinking, when we were drinking this at the beginning, and now that I feel like it's kind of settled and open up, to me, this is a really sexy wine. Like, it's really, like, dark and brooding. It's got like the spice on the end. To me, it just is like a really sexy wine, and not in a jazzy way that Syrah normally is. It just is like, I don't know, a really, I don't even, I'm trying to think of like a masculine, strong wine. I'm into it. I like it.
But it's natural tasting.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't have like waves of oak bringing out.
No, it doesn't taste like that. Yeah. No, it's just a really, I was thinking like dark chocolate just because of the chocolate in it.
Mm-hmm. I would be a love nice pairing. To have dark chocolate with this.
Thinking like it's a Valentine's Day wine because it had, like, if you're having chocolate or, I don't know, fondue came in my mind, but I feel like that's too much sugar to have wine with. But that's what I was like immediately thinking, just Valentine's Day. It's a great wine. Mm-hmm. It's certainly, if we were just basing the cost, I would have said $50.
Yeah.
I think if you blind taste this, didn't know what it was, and we're told it was some type of blend, and you asked for a price range, I think $50 would come out of people's mouth.
You know.
I really do. Yeah. Becky, I think you're right.
It's going to sound a little weird, but remember the Kirkland Giggleness?
Okay.
We like that a lot.
Yep.
And this Syrah has a lot of that freshness that had, which is a compliment to Christos because, I mean, even though it's Kirkland and it's cheaper, that's just because, you know, Costco has naked pictures of somebody and gets that stuff, you know.
The Gigondas.
They got somebody. They got the winemaker, caught in the act with a donkey or something like that. And so he's like, I will sell the ride for 1/3 the price. Yes. Do not show my mother the picture with me and the donkey. That's what's going on there. But this is, I think that's high praise for this, but this is beyond that because the finish is just so interesting and long.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And elevated mouthfeel too. Mm-hmm.
But also easy to drink. It accomplishes so many little things that is impressive because sometimes, the finish is so long and interesting and deep. But in spite of the fact that it's a Tannenbaum in the mid palate and it's just far not ready to drink anytime soon, or the front is a little tight, or it's too jammy. No. This doesn't have any.
This has none of those things.
No, it doesn't.
Now, do you think this has the ability to be held on to for, say, 5 years?
Oh, ageability.
3 to 5.
I wonder.
Drink or hold?
I would drink or hold, yes. Drink me or hold me.
After having this, I wonder why you wouldn't just drink it now. What's going to happen to this that's going to make it better?
I would say drink now through now in 2026 or 7 max. I don't know. Nothing. I mean, what are you trying to do with this wine? It's not overtly tannic.
Right.
So, let's say it doesn't have tannin, but and it's not ugly in any sense. So yeah, it's really it drinks so nicely. Now it's also an 18, which if it was a 2020 or 2021 maybe, but it's already had some time in the bottle. Yeah.
And I just think that
this is the current vintage for this, but I mean they've set it a couple of years to settle it. Yes. So
and that taking it 4 years into the future, mm-hmm. I think it would lean out.
If anything,
you'd lose this wonderful mouthfeel to some degree because it wouldn't have the bulk that it has now to go with that mouthfeel.
I would kind of treat this like I would the Gunlock Bunchu. And I enjoy it now. Different wines, but yeah, I would agree. I think that there's no reason to wait. You can just drink it at your own pace over the next few years. And it's only $22. So, yeah, if you held a bottle for 5 years just to see what the hell went on, maybe you have something magical. But it still is a $20 California wine. We're not talking about a $75, Châteauneuf du Pape. We're not.
No.
Mm-hmm. So you need to keep that in mind. Those are built. Those have vines that are older than Scott.
Ancient.
That's fucking old. So, this does not.
Yeah. So good.
By the way, I also like the high shoulder bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very nice bottle. Handsome. And the snout, I never noticed the snout up until now, but it's a simple but handsome label, I think, too.
It is not.
I like the label.
I think it's a jank label, but it's okay.
The pig nose is throwing me off. Now I can not unsee it.
I think the color scheme is kind of dated looking. Like, it looks like it's from the 70s.
Maybe it is. You're thinking of a Mary Edwards.
Thank you for telling me what I'm thinking. No, I'm telling you the color palette is dated.
What you mean to think. Let me explain that with that.
Yeah. I'm pleasantly surprised by this.
Me too. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I thought it would be good, but I'm very happy.
Oddball colors. Just kind of an earthy color palette.
They always have weird labels, though. But I'm very, very pleased with the drinkability of this. I thought it might be a little too more guttural and, but it's not. It's not
at all.
No.
I see why Bobby gave it a 95.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't Bobby, it was his advocate. But
yeah, they were advocating for this wine. But they've always liked Marietta. They're giving 94s, 95s out like freaking popcorn to Marietta right now. So it's well liked by Robert Parker.
Get it while you can at $22, folks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's a crazy price for a really good wine. And I think, if you haven't had a Rhone blend, this would be a Rhone style blend because it's from California. It's not from Rhone. This would be a good introduction to that. And I think a little more palatable to most folks than an actual Rhone blend.
Yeah. Because, Becky, you don't like Rhone blends from Rhone.
No. Something I was thinking about that we haven't discussed yet about this wine is I think Syrah, Grenache, even to an extent Petite Syrah, if you have something that has a lot of Petite Syrah on it, it is not approachable. Like, you can have some really gnarly wines. And this is a really approachable version of that. And for it to be a combination of all three and to be this drinkable is pretty impressive.
They knocked it out of the ballpark.
I think that's actually the most, yes. I couldn't, there's nothing that you said on this show that I agree more to than that. That is
true.
Absolutely, yeah. Positively, absolutely true. Yes, there's so many ways, I'll just say it my way, you can fuck up those varietals. And you could really fuck up this blending. Because sometimes it's the four horses of the apocalypse, leaving out Viognier. You're like, Petite Syrah, fuck.
It could have just Grenache, been too much competing, but they've done a really, really nice job blending it.
Or they could have said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make an American Chateauneuf of DuPont. Yeah. Oh, no,
they
you didn't.
They could have also, like, oaked it within an inch of its life. That's what I feel like.
Yes.
We've had that.
Well, they let everything be its own thing. Mm-hmm. The wine be its own thing. It's a light homage to Rhone in ways, but it's not trying to be that. Yeah. And it's not too Cali. It's not trying to be too showy. It's not they didn't go out and try to get a 95. You know, it doesn't taste that way. It tastes that, aha, this is our vision for this wine, even though it's a goofy concept as to how they named it. But still, this is our concept for this wine. Oh, you happen to really like it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's the potential for this to be three feral cats in a bag. One feral cat being the Grenache, that's one being the Syrah, one being the Petite.
It's really Syrah. Could have been.
Very strong prosody.
Thrown, three little kitties got thrown into a pillowcase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what happened?
Shaken up.
When they threw them in the pillowcase, you came out with this purring lap cat that just, you know, just looks at you desperately when you stop petting it.
I'm surprised Bo's sleeping through this cat analogy.
It also could be boozy. It's 15%. Yeah. And it's Syrah. It's Grenache and Petite Syrah. But it's not. It doesn't taste boozy. Although,
doesn't taste boozy at all.
At 15% alcohol, you will stop feeling your face if you drink too much of it, which I will.
And so, you're not getting the sulfite red face reaction.
No, it's because it's made with proper things.
Yeah.
Not sewer water.
Oh, they did such a good job.
So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back with another 95-point wine here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2009, yes, whoever smelt it dealt it, Bodegas Hermanas Perez Pascuas Reserva from Ribera del Duero in Spain. For those that don't know, Ribera del Duero is like a two-hour drive out of Madrid. We've driven through there, Becky. Great wine. One of my favorite wines, Condado de Aza, is from Ribera del Duero. It's not too far from Toro, where Numancia is, or Romanico is. Mm-hmm. Great, great wine, all Tempranillo. This is 100% Tempranillo, although it's not called Tempranillo. It's called, Scott, do you know? You don't know. It's called, where's it at? I don't know. I'm a presenter on a wine program, in case you didn't know.
By the way.
Tinto Fino, which is Tempranillo.
Tinto Fino, right.
In parentheses, Tempranillo. It says that on the back of the label.
By the way, if you're going to look for this wine,
El Pedro Sal.
There you go.
El Pedro Sal.
Why are you refusing to say that?
Well, I don't know, because it sounds like a pesticide. Becky said it. So
I don't think so. It sounds like a Spanish wine.
El Pedro Sal. Edición Limidad. You know what?
What?
It's not Mary Edwards. So, 95 from Bobby Parker. And Bobby's not on the show tonight,
but I am. This is Wilford. I get to read the wine. Okay. Wine, the wine advocate, Robert Parker. It's a great when wineries can offer mature vintages, as is the case with the 2009 El Pedrusal Reserva, a wine that has rested in bottle since January of 12 and has had time to develop a complex bouquet and polish and resolve and they love ants. It's tannins. The nose is reminiscent of truffles in autumn forest. Not unlike some mature old Burgundy, with hints of iodine and soy sauce, savory and quite complex. This is aged really well, unlike me. Oh my God. And it's ready for prime time drinking. But there should be no rush. That's right. Scott, so what I do is I take the Ritz crackers and I...
Where do you put them?
Right on my nipples. And I'd just smear mango chutney all the way down. It'd be a trail.
What about the crumbs?
I just sprinkle them in the chutney. And then you'd follow the trail. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
That's right. That would be the meat course.
Oh, Lord.
I almost threw up in my mouth when I said that.
Well, I saw our listeners, so.
I should censor myself. Anyway,
oh, I'm sorry, I'm done. I don't know why you have this kind of relationship with Wilford. It's disturbing.
So. My relationship?
Yes,
with
your relationship. Disturbing. It's perverted, and I don't approve of it. Clean it up, sicko. Oh. El Pedrusal Reserva.
So.
Pedrusal also is very close to pederast, and I don't, it's just there's too many things that are ped. That I don't like.
It's a right. name pedophile. Of a bottle of wine.
Pedophile. El pedophile.
That's not, I made, that's my favorite Spanish wine.
Yeah.
So, what this winery does
is
they age this for you.
Yes, they do.
You don't have to store it, you just have to buy it, and it's got 10 years on it.
Yes, they didn't forget it in a warehouse. This is what they do. They do this on purpose. Now, we've done. Like the Vigna Andona, whatever.
How much space do they have to? They
have a couple storage units in like a strip mall. It's like a business district.
Right.
You know, there's a transmission shop right there.
Didn't we read about a winery?
Yes.
That caught on fire? Their caves caught on fire? Or collapsed or something?
No, that was in Afghanistan. It wasn't.
Rob.
No, I don't know about that. But we were at.
I'll find it.
What did we go to? We went to Antonion. And so Antonion is Rioja, right outside of Longrano. Actually, it's in Longrano. And they do the same thing with their Gran Reserva and Reserva. They're holding it back. But we know the Gran Reserva and Reserva, they're held for a certain set period of time. But they have caves. And like, I think that it was... 2002, and it was it was the 2002 vintage. I think they were selling it. It was 2011. So, but that's what some places do.
That's what they do.
Yeah, some places do that. So in the glass, this has a little bit more of a copper hue. It's a little bit more translucent than the Marietta, not to be confused with Mary Edwards. But really, the weird thing, or the intense thing, is when you smell it.
Yeah, it is.
This smells like many things. Some of them are barrels at a festival that have been, they've put refuge in. Maybe somebody urinated in the barrel. It's a bit of barnyardy.
It is a funk nose.
Farmhouse. Whoa.
That is not a Tempranillo nose.
Well, it can be. Tempranillo, first, Ribera de Dueros are a little bit different than Rioja, okay? They are a little bit more eclectic in their hard edge, but they also tend to have a little more silkier mouthfeel. If you can ever get past the smell,
I was going to say it's a little bit like you're going to have to hold your nose to take a sip.
It's intense. It wakes you up.
It's intense for you all.
It wakes. Well, this is some, you know. It's we don't do a lot of barnyard.
It almost smells like. I don't know if you all have ever been around this smell, but when someone gets a perm.
Yeah, no, you're right.
that kind of
the activator,
hot,
I think.
Smell.
Yeah.
There's like a chemical activator they put on. That's
does.
So you've got this barnyard, and then there's that hair perm. It's like that. It's not quite that.
Yeah.
Stringent.
It's a lot.
It's not quite that pungent. Yeah. But it's there, and it's in the background. And it's very much like that.
Well, like the old hairsprays that would give you cancer, kind of stuff. That, but no,
the ones
but,
that put the hole in the ozone.
Oh yeah, Aquanet, baby. No, it. When they said Burgundy, this does have elements of a Burgundian nose.
Yeah. Where is this from?
Spain. Ribera del Duero. Okay.
Ribera. I mean, it definitely smells like a French or.
It's intense.
The continent.
It tastes. It smells as of something that is not fucking around. You have to want to drink wine to smell
Scott
this.
Drank it.
No, he's not smiling. I'm going to drink it, too. This is a very different wine from the Marietta. Very soft. Very.
You're drinking something that's got some time on it.
Yes, but it doesn't taste aged. It just tastes very soft and pillowy and very, very quiet.
Makes you want to turn on a late night FM DJ and just listen and.
More like new age kind of, you know, what's the Enya, whatever the hell it is.
Oh God!
You know, just like if you're meditating what's the woman that has lipstick on her teeth? Paige Roy says Sade. You're listening to her songs all the time. You know, this is what you would drink when you're doing that.
I would not.
You wouldn't smell it.
This was a Tempranillo.
Well, if it doesn't taste like Rioja, and it doesn't taste like Gandada de Aza either, it's its own thing. I will say that it's definitely a different style. Yeah,
there's something else on the finish, like a. I mean, I haven't had a sip in a couple of minutes, like almost a cedar finish.
A little bit, yeah, probably. Well, it's oaked, but this.
I mean, obviously oak rot, but I'm saying it's different. It's cedar.
Yeah, no, cedar's a good descriptor.
Isn't cedar a good way to? It's a good barrel. Cedar barrels, we use those, right?
To keep out the moss.
What I do is I stir the wine with an oar.
You know what you need, Wilfred?
What?
Oh, cedar.
What's that?
Cleansing products.
Is it? Mm. Well, after the mango chutney and the Ritz crackers on my nipples.
Yes, you need the cedar.
I would take a bath, that's for sure.
In O-Cedar, I hope.
I don't know. I would be very emotionally disturbed.
I think you were right about the silky mouthfeel. It is a shockingly smooth mouthfeel after the nose.
Pillowy. Yeah, because it's very relaxed and elegant. It's elegance. Yes, the nose, you think you're going to taste, and it'll taste like a raccoon that's been sitting in the sun for 6 days.
It just after it's smells dead. So much like a perm, it's hard for me to taste it.
Mm-hmm.
It has some of the perm on the palate.
I don't know what perm tastes like. It's been so long since I've had a perm.
Oh, second sip is better than the first, and the second sip is tannic.
Would you say this is full-bodied?
No, not any longer. I'm sure when the bottle it was.
Yeah, at some point, yeah. But it's not meant to be.
And again, you said you wouldn't know this for Tempranillo. The body's the first thing that tells you this is not your everyday Tempranillo.
Yeah.
But it's, again, it's 2009, so...
Yeah, I mean, but this is also $28.
Yeah.
That's a shit ton of elegance for $28.
Where did this come from?
Wine.com.
Wine.com. Scott's Wine Vault.
Oh, you don't put the...
No, he doesn't.
Rob makes us put the sticker on the back.
Nah, good stuff. I put the tags on there.
You do not. You put the sticker on everything.
I don't. There you go.
It was in my pocket. I mean, I love both of these wines, but I love them in completely different ways.
Mm-hmm.
The Marietta is far more of a mass appeal, but not for masses, but I think a lot of people would really get down on it. It has such a normal enjoyment to it. There's nothing that any level of wine drinker, except for people that drink, you know, Moscato di Asti, wouldn't like. Very, very pleasing, and it's a wonderful gateway. It's a wonderful wine for so many damn different reasons.
Yes.
So many damn different reasons I can point to that wine and say, you should buy this wine and drink it. And then there's the El Pedro Sal, which is different.
Similarly, though,
you need
another example of a really high-quality wine. The thing that's similar about both these, neither one of them is incredibly complex.
The El Pedro Sal is very complex, Scott. Very
complex.
Complexity is high there.
Do tell.
Let me just drink it again because it's hard to think. Oh, Becky's going in for more Marietta.
Right.
I am so shocked, but I'm not after drinking them. I would have sworn that you would have loved the
Tempranillo. I thought I would like it more, too.
Well, I think you're having a hard time getting past that nose.
It tastes like it to me. Tastes like a hair perm.
Oh, Lordy.
I think maybe relatively of the two, it's more complex.
Oh, I'm just so many nice little herbs. Dried cherry, sun-dried tomato, little winks of tobacco are there.
Hair perm.
No, it doesn't come across that way. Pops of cedar, like Becky said, is absolutely true.
I'm getting the tobacco and then some different subtleties in the fruit. But it's really that cedar finish without much spice or anything like that.
No, it does have spice in the finish. And it kind of rolls in, and it's such a long finish. Both of these wines are very different from one another in many different ways, but they're both very, very nice. I would have liked to probably drink the El Pedro Sal maybe two years ago.
Oh, I was going to say have it before we had the Marietta.
No, 2 years ago. But you bought it 2 years ago, and that was when it was current vintage.
Yeah.
So less than 2 years ago, actually. But you have one more bottle of this. It's fine.
Yeah.
I would drink it in the next 2-3 years.
Yeah.
But such a lovely thing to drink. And I like the experience. I like the way the mouthfeel is. I love the pillowiness. Because, you know, that mouthfeel also, Scott, is part of complexity. It does have a completely different structure than what you're accustomed to. And that is something that's very interesting to me. It's texturally, it has so many things that are interesting to it. And I like the flavors. I like the way the whole thing is just kind of laid out. It's not a 95.
I don't think either of these are 95s, but well, that's fine.
It might have been 95. Well, no, it might have been something in that range maybe 2-3 years ago. But I don't think so.
Maybe. I enjoy when you get this, an aged wine, and it starts to show different fruit that you wouldn't otherwise have. There's a little cranberry there. Well, it's just nice.
Well, you notice one thing, though, if you read the review for the El Pedro Sal, it's focused on the nose, Scott. It doesn't even really talk about the wine when they drank it. So, I mean, with hints of iodine, soy sauce, but it's mostly talking about the nose. Truffles, autumn forest. And then, with hints of iodine, soy sauce, and savory and quite complex. That's all it says.
That's all it says.
It doesn't talk about fruit. It doesn't talk about anything else. And I don't even know if that's actually talking about, well, savory should be the palate. But, you know, there isn't really, I wouldn't say iodine, because it doesn't have this hard-edged minerality to it. Iodine and soy sauce are hard-edged minerality components.
Well, but the iodine that they're talking about might be the same thing that Rebecca was talking about, the perm in the background of the barnyard. But truffles and autumn forest, when you mix those together, maybe that is barnyard.
Well, the nose does have truffle to it. I mean, that definitely is. And I think the forest is a little more, you know, Marchish than autumn. So, you know, no, they're dried leaves, what they're talking about.
Maybe. And I go wet leaves.
Yeah.
But
there are no leaves.
You're right. In the review, they talk nothing about
not really
what the wine is on your palate.
Actually, not a lot of detail about the wine for a 95-point score. Because if you're giving something 95, this is going to be like twice that long. Because shouldn't it be the best thing you've had that day? I would think.
They didn't give that much.
No, especially about the palate. What does it taste like? What is it? What I think they really got into the Burgundian nose, which I get. I understand that is unique and special, especially if you're a Burgundian fan. And maybe that's what they're really into. And they got lost on the rest of it when they smelled it. They said, oh my gosh, it smells like a Burgundy. Okay, but it's not a Burgundy. It's Tempranillo. What's it taste like, motherfucker? And they're like, but it smells like a Burgundy.
Right.
And it's like, well, okay. It's very nice. I like it a lot. But, and I think it's a wonderful deal. So, I mean, $28, I think, is a fantastic price for something that's different.
The 2005, which they also gave a 95, the Wine Advocate. Similarly, it only talks about the nose and does not have a single descriptor for the palate. Not a single descriptor for the palate.
Well, it's a very good wine. It's very, very good wine. But, yeah, I think that they've slipped a little bit in their review. I think it's a strong wine, though. It's really a great wine. You were right to buy it, Scott, and I think you're not missing out. If you paid $75 for this wine, okay, whatever. But you didn't. They are only asking $28.99, and that is a good price. That is a good price for that wine. If I tasted that, I'd say, you know what? This is, you know, a Spanish wine, $30-$40, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. It's $28.99.
Yep.
I think it tastes really good. Gandada de Asa is a lot better. We've had it. It's a lot better. But it also has, but this is the thing. When we found this with that Rioja, and I can't see the bottle, but that, you know, they hold it, and it turns into kind of like a game of chicken. Because that Rioja that we did that's old, it had lost some, you know, just because they hold it back so long, it is a bit of a, you know, a bit of a roll of the dice. And that one, those were sky high scores, 96s, 97s. I was like 96 from Parker. And it wasn't very good because it was too old. And so I think when I think that the wine reviewers kind of get infatuated with the wines that are held like that.
Yeah.
Without stopping and saying, is it better or is it worse than they did that? Right. You know, this did age well. It does. It tastes really nice. And it's a 13-year-old wine, you know? Yeah. That's an old wine.
It does drink like a more expensive wine.
Yeah.
I would agree.
But, you know.
I like how you know that it's an old wine. Aside from sticking your nose in it,
it doesn't taste haggard.
Right.
It does taste, it still has a vibrance and a freshness, and it still tastes alive. And that's the biggest thing for me. I mean, we've tasted some wines in here that were old that were just tasting old. And that's not, Becky and I recently, we did the garage company Pais. It was a 15. It was dead. It was a dead wine. And we've had it before and loved it. It was vibrant and fresh. But what was it, maybe 2 years ago? In that two-year period, dead. So
some things just aren't meant to be aged at all.
At all. And 15 is probably pushing it on Pais too. And I see a lot of these Mencias and stuff like that are out there that are a little bit older. Don't buy those, folks, because those are great younger, not older. I don't care for shit what they're saying. Oh, you can age it to 2030. No, you can't. Those wines taste best when they're fresh and they're young. A Ribera del Duero? No, not necessarily. Those are more ageable. I've aged plenty of stuff from that region quite a bit. And it always does well. But I've only ever bought like Pesquera, anything that was Alejandro, whatever that was. Basically, they're doing Canada de Aza, they do Pesquera, that kind of stuff. Those are all delicious fucking wines. And I've put plenty of age on those things. 15, 16 years. What would we do? Where was the Robert de Duero? Oh, right there. Gandale Aza. What vintage is that? It's right there. See the Gandale Aza. Also, I love the label.
I can't see the vintage from here, brother. And we gave it 92, 91.
2006.
Right.
And I think we did that maybe 3 years ago.
Sounds about right.
So... And you know what we also had at in Vegas, in Mandalay Bay, Ariel, we had Gandale de Aza.
Huh.
You and I. The first one we drank.
That big wine thing in the middle.
Yeah, that's what I ordered. And so we drank that. So we've had Gandale de Aza on several occasions. I've had several bottles. I haven't seen it recently. Wine.com hasn't had it. But it's one that I always buy. But it's in the lower 20s.
Yeah.
Really great wine. But this is a great wine, too. And if you see it, folks out there, and you like something that's a little bit different, and you want to try something that's a little more unique, I would buy it. Especially at $28.
Yeah.
So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So we are on to the review section of the show. So we're going to start off. Scott, before we start, could you give me a little more Marietta? Because I don't remember what it tastes like. I'm just... It's,
I know, it's, I had a little splash more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tilt the fucking thing. Here we go. A little more. There we go.
Here's a question.
That's good. Yes.
We could obviously drink a couple glasses of Marietta. Could you drink the... Spanish wine.
Oh, absolutely.
You could drink 5 glasses of it.
Yeah. I really enjoy it.
It's...
But it's
more of a...
Us wine.
Sit and enjoy it, yeah. Not... It wouldn't drink as fast as the other, but that's just... Mm. It's just a different wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not going to drink that way. And it'd be a shame... It'd be a shame to drink that Marietta too fast because it is such a good wine. It should be enjoyed and savored.
It's 15% alcohol.
But people, it'd be so easy to just slam that.
Yeah.
It just is.
And by the way, ladies, I'm sorry. Steve Gibson is not on the show tonight because we don't know where he is. Where is he? I mean, he might be on the show. Is he there? He's hard to see. Steve? No, I can't see him. He's not very tall. So...
It's not nice.
We're going to start off with the Mary Edwards. Over to the Triple B. Did I say Mary Edwards?
You just did.
Motherfucker.
That's the fourth time?
At least.
Well, I think 3 for Rob, 1 for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that.
I wrote down full-bodied, spicy at the end, approachable in the Syrah category. I'm a fan. I am shocked, again, that I'm a fan, like you said, Rob. I give it a 92.
You are a fan. Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Yeah. Poured another small.
Well, that's... I know.
I'm also at 92.
I want
to give it a 93. I just can't quite do it. I'm at 92 also.
Yeah.
And there's two things that... Well, first of all, there's the analogy of the three things that shouldn't be this easy to drink at this age. And, they have held it back from, it's a 2018, this is current vintage, right? Mm-hmm. And Grenache, Syrah, Petit Syrah, those aren't always easy drinkers. And somehow they find a way to blend those three.
Mm-hmm.
Throw the three feral cats in a bag, and out came a lap cat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gorgeous mouthfeel. A really unique mouthfeel, too. It's just so... It's almost like it sits on top of your tongue, and then it does something different on the finish. The mouthfeel continues through the finish when it just shouldn't be there anymore. And then the other thing is just how well this is oaked. It's just superior winemaking, and makes me want to drink more of their stuff, whether it's North Coast or not.
I agree. Their stuff is just fucking divine. Folks, get Marietta. Buy their stuff, try it, explore their stuff. It's not really expensive. It tops out about $40 for their high-ender cabs and their Syrahs. This is $21. Their Zin is $21. They have their lot 12 or 72, whatever it is, and that's $14 or $12. Find their stuff and buy it and try it. There's a Ghost Block Zin, I think, right now is $40. So many interesting things. And obviously, they just know how to make wine. They know what they're doing. This is a great wine. I am torn. Natalie Imbruglia torn, as I would say.
It keeps coming up. That song is just
I'm
in
all
your
out
mind.
Of faith. This is how I feel, Scott. All right. I'm cold and I'm afraid.
I am cold.
Lying naked on the floor. Delusions never fade into something real.
I wish I knew you when I was 10.
What? So, I am, you know what? I'm going to stick to the score I wrote down. 92 of my points
what?
As well.
When's the last time we all...
That high of a score? I don't know.
No, when's the last time we agreed on the exact numerical
it
score?
Like last week we did
we have,
all the same score.
But they're more like 88. Never a 92. This wine is in Hall of Fame illustrious level.
Yeah.
By the way, Wine of the Year candidate. I know it's early on, but I don't see anything beating this wine.
It has to be.
I just don't see it. How many bottles should I buy back here?
It's just, particularly when you consider $22.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing buy.
You like other stuff they make?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like some, yeah, I do. I really do.
I want to like the other stuff that they make, but I haven't had it.
Mm.
I want you to want me.
Okay, moving on to the second one.
Yes, the El Pederast.
Pedro Sal,
sorry.
Oh my God.
Oh my
the
Lord.
Perez. The Bodegas Hermanos Perez Pascual El Pedro Sal Reserva from Ribera de Duero. Over to the Triple B.
It ages just as you pronounce the name of the maker in the wine.
Yeah. Time to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I am abstaining from scoring this because I cannot drink it, and my score is not like I can't score something I can't drink.
Fair enough.
So my score would skew it in a stupid way.
Oh,
my score would be a 45. You know what I mean? Because I can't drink it. It's not a Becky wine at all.
Hmm.
I had two sips of it. And it tastes like perm solution to me. So
you drink that a lot? You go into a beauty salon and say, hey, motherfuckers. And you're like,
every woman that has had a perm or been in a beauty salon when a perm has been given knows exactly what I'm talking about.
When you drink this shit, they're like, look at that.
No, it's such a strong smell. It like invades your like skin and mouth. So every woman knows. But yeah, so I'm abstaining. I don't think I've ever done that before.
I doubt very, very many women listen to our show, but they do for me. I'm a sex symbol.
Oh my God.
You know? They listen to me, they're like, oh my gosh. I wish I knew Wilfred Wong. Did you know Jeff got fired from wine.com? Now it's Jose. Did you know that, Scott?
I didn't know that.
It's Wilfred. True. You go on there, Jeff's not there. Jeff can't help you find a great wine. It's Jose. You know where Jeff is?
Where is Jeff?
At my house in my freezer.
Oh, just, Wilfred.
I just wanted to point that out.
You've been active again.
Wow. Yes. Don't tell anybody.
Damn it.
Or I'll have to kill you too.
Go ahead. What's your score, Scott? Of the Becky abstaining wine. I respect your integrity there.
I'm at 90 on this.
90 of your points.
I just really enjoy the length of it.
Mm-hmm.
How the Tempranillo or Tinto has now... you know it's an aged wine. They did a really good job with the oaking on this. I like when... As a wine ages, and sometimes the fruit dissipates and goes away, and then other times it exposes something different that you wouldn't get to have.
True.
And here, what I like that you get to have, because it is aged and some of the wine has gone away, the cranberry, just this little essence of cranberry in wine. And I love that in this.
Yeah.
Love it.
I am at
90, my
99. No, I'm at 99. I'm actually at 90 as well.
What?
No, I.
This is a crazy night.
For me, I actually enjoy the flavor profile. I like little pops and winks of different. I love the herbaceousness of this. I love the fact that it doesn't really ever commit to one thing. Normally, I would hate that, but in this one, I like it. But I like the subdued, hushed nature of it. Just like I said when we drank it, it's like you're listening to, you know. This is no ordinary love.
Well, that was...
No ordinary love. Although there's like a metal background. That is.
That's not a... Oh, that was a Sade song?
Yeah.
When you
come to me. I don't know.
I think you were too high, but yes, that was...
That's true. She is. This is... That's her. But yeah.
I love Sade.
I do too. She's good. I mean, I don't know, really. It's kind of a weird vibe you get from him, but, you know, whatever.
It's her.
Her what?
Sade's a female.
I know.
Oh.
What I said.
I thought you said from him.
I didn't.
Mm.
They.
Okay.
I don't know what her pronouns are. Or,
true.
I just screwed that up, didn't I?
Well.
I don't know. That's very difficult. But, you know.
I don't know what Sade's pronouns are. That's hate.
There we go.
I used to love Sade, but then my children... mocked me because of, you know, it's not my fault she got lipstick on her teeth on Saturday Night Live. Mm.
That's the reason why?
That song By Your Side is my favorite. I love that song.
Yeah. I mean, but all of her stuff has a similar sound, but
sure.
But that's
sure.
What this, the El Pedrasal, or Pederast, where it is.
We need to wrap up this episode before
what
you say anything else.
Well, what did I say?
I've
been on the show. I didn't say nothing.
So for Marietta,
yes,
I said Rob would give it a 94. Scott would
what?
Give it a 95. What? So I was off by 5.
I would say.
And on Spanish, I said Rob 93. You gave it a 90. Scott 92, 90. So I was off by 10.
You thought we'd give it a 94 to 95?
I just thought...
Were we on the take?
Well...
I wasn't that far off.
You must have... That's
why whenever we started reading and I realized it wasn't European...
No.
It was a tribute and an animal wine. I was so upset because I thought you were going to really... I mean, we rated it high, but I thought you were going to really rate it high. There's
a pig snout on the list.
I didn't even look. I just barely... I wrote down Marietta Christos, and I was thinking it was, some kind of European wine.
I think it's the antithesis of our tribute wine and animal in the label wine.
Well, it's only part of an animal. So it's going like...
Way back.
It's like Jeff's foot.
A mantra to observation that wines with animals on the label are bad.
Well, it's just part of an animal. It's just like with Wilford.
I should have taken away. Normally, I would take away a couple of points for animal, a couple of points for a tribute. If I had done that, like a point and a point, I would have been about spot on.
Well, usually, though, you don't need to take points off for that because the wines are just so bad. Yeah. There's no points to take away from.
And that's crazy, too. But
it's not crazy. It's real.
No. You know, but like, but
hold
listen
on,
out.
Scott needs to do his.
You know what I'm going to say, so you're just trying to.
Oh, go ahead.
Don't blame me. No, it's, but you know, it's just a bit of an animal, right?
You've said that like
I didn't
four
notice
times.
That it was a snout.
It was
until
a
you
joke I was trying to tell because like, there's bits and pieces of Jeff in Wilford's freezer.
There's a snout inside
laugh
a triangle.
Track. What's that? Laugh. A triangle?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a snout inside a triangle.
It's such a weird light.
I posed Jeff's foot in a triangle, you know.
So my scores of integrity, I thought mm-hmm. Becky was going to give the Marietta a 90.
Ooh.
I thought Rob was going to give it a 92.
Really?
Willie?
That's really, really, that's good.
Willie?
I said wow. Really.
And then?
Ribiera del Duero. Becky didn't score it. I thought she was going to give it an 89.
Huh? Okay.
Rob, I thought also was going to give it a 92.
Wow.
So how many are you off?
A total of four.
I think you won. But anyway, the Marietta. I thought Scott would give it a 91.
Very close.
But I thought Becky, given her background, would give it an 88. A begrudgingly 88.
Okay.
You don't normally like that stuff.
I love how you guys think that you know me so well.
And then on the Perez.
Spanish.
Well, the Pedras. The Pedro,
the Spanish the, wine. Stop yeah, saying it. Yeah, Spanish wine.
Yeah, Pedrasal.
Yeah, Pedrasal. Whatever it is. I thought, well, I'll just say what I thought Becky would give it, but she gave it a, you know, she abstained. I thought she'd give it a 91, but that's okay because it's Rioja. Or not Rioja, it's Tempranillo.
Tempranillo.
But I also thought Scott would give it a 92.
Oh.
So, you know, I think Scott won.
Yes.
I don't want to do the math, but I think he won regardless. So, but nevertheless, both wines are in the Hall of Fame. But
what?
The Marietta, you don't count.
I should have given it my 10.
You should have given it. I still would have put it in the Hall of Fame.
I know you would
have. Yes. Nevertheless, Mary Edward, or Mary Edwards. Damn it! Son of a bitch. Marietta. The Cristo is the champion. But by the way, Marietta Cristo, really, really in the Hall of Fame. And by the way, right now, the front runner for Wine of the Year. I hope something beats it, because if something beats it,
then it's really,
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 really
good wine.
Yeah.
I don't see anything right now in the wine vault, in the queue, that will beat it. I'm just, Jack's
ain't
beating
it.
I'm
going to be off for several episodes then.
I mean, Jack's ain't beating it. Maybe the Yolumba Shiraz will beat it. I don't know.
I don't know how we could recommend a wine more highly than Marietta Cristo.
Oh, man. I know. It's up there. It's up there. There's a trio of wines we liked. Obviously, the Gunlock Bun Shoe. We liked Edge, but this is a little bit different. This is a great wine. And this is universally like those other ones. Gunlock, yes, but Gunlock was lower scores overall. Edge, I liked it more than everybody else. Everybody gave this a 92. That's rare. And you think about the varietals that are in this blend, and everybody gave it a 92. That says something about this wine. That says bravo to Marietta. That also means a tip of the cap.
Oh. I think they just get the cap.
Yeah.
And gown.
And anybody that listens out there that likes to listen to it, likes to try the things we try, try this. And you know who I'm talking to. I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
So
this is something should be available in every market.
It should be. And quite frankly, Marietta, bravo. And quite frankly, we're going to try more of your shit.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Absolutely.
For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we will bid you adieu. But see you next time, here on the Wine Vault. Good night.